Lord Jesus. I want us to be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. Genesis 26. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also will tell thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. It was the story of Abimelech and Abraham. We all know Abimelech as a king snatched Abraham's wife. Abraham, just fearing that he might be killed and his wife taken, called Sarah his sister, and the king took her. I want us to pray this morning. Father, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from every evil. Go ahead and talk to God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Rescue me, O Lord, from all temptations that may be too difficult to overcome. I shall not fall into satanic destructive traps. Every trap set for me by the enemy, I shall not fall into it. In the mighty name of Jesus. I will not fall into satanic trap. In the name that's above every other name, I decree, I shall not fall into satanic trap. In the mighty name of Jesus. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. From this day, O Lord, I discountenance all my frustrations and setbacks to focus on you and the plan that you have for my destiny. With joy, I take my destiny into my hand. I possess my place in destiny, knowing that your plans towards me is for good and not for evil. Receive all blessings that flow from your presence. I receive all blessings that flow from your presence, O Lord, for my elevation and for my promotion. In the mighty name of Jesus, I shall not be a failure. In my calling, I shall not be a failure. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can have your seat. Tell your neighbor you will not be a failure. Your destiny will not be truncated. In the mighty name of Jesus. There are two stories in the Bible which when we get to them, I want us to read very well. When the title of the message is When Good and Evil Are Wrongly Decoded. You know, and if you are not careful, if you do not possess the discernment of the Holy Spirit, if you do not possess the power of the Holy Spirit, evil can come and you think it is good. And good can come, you can think it is evil. You know, and it can be wrongly decoded. But the Spirit of the Lord will forever be with us in the mighty name of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and then obedience. Very, very. They are key two factors. They will not allow us to get our good to be wrongly decoded in the mighty name of Jesus. Neither shall evil be wrongly decoded in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, we live in a society where people don't trust themselves anymore. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2, 11 to 14. Exodus 2, 11 to 14. Moses flee to Midian. That's how my Bible titled it. It said, one day, I'm reading from New Living Translation. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. We all know the story of Moses. You know, a prince in Egypt. His mother was her maid. Or how do we call it? How will you call our mother now? When you are employed to take care of a child. Nanny, okay. His mother was also his nanny. You know. The princess didn't know that. So his mother has been able to detail the story of his life into his life. You know. His mother told him his life. Everything. So he was not part of the people that are doing the hard labor. But because there is people, he always go out. So he went out, he saw them. So he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, looking this way and that way, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. 13. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, you know, after he must have said, what is going on? Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? I'm just speaking in tongues now. I hope everybody understands. Some people are already, the labor of the Egyptians is too much on you already, and you are adding to your own suffering. You know. So he asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. So you discover that we live in a world of suspicions, a generation of people that cannot be trusted. It has been like that from the world go. Unless that individual is born yesterday, you probably have had it rough with people whose intentions you took on the face value. You took the intention of evil, oh, they are good people. They turn out to be far deeper than what you think. If you have lived in Lagos, for example, they say if you are a fool in Lagos, you are a fool forever. Yeah. And I'm sure it's the same thing in New York. They say if you live in New York and you are a fool, And I'm sure it's the same thing in Chicago, no doubt about that. So this saying was born out of experiences that residents would have had while dealing with neighbors whom they trusted very well, you know. Who eventually turn out to be scammers, to be cheats, and so on and so forth. So because of people's experiences with others, they tend not to trust anyone. This is the reason why people may come with the best intentions only to meet a brick wall mounted by the very people they intend to help. One time, a research was going on, and I was at Ikotun Market. We were to research how we can help the women to be better, effectively communicate with themselves and increase the scope of their marketing. You know, immediately I introduced myself. The woman looked at me. No, the majority of them are not lettered. But their secretary, no starter, look at me like this. You are from Sonny Abacha. Go away, we don't need you. You have come here to deceive us again. So that you get information from us and then you run. We don't need you. And it was a staunch, you know, block. And this was a research that we want to bring the women together, we want to discuss with them, but bringing them together also must put some naira in their pocket. We cannot just allow ask them to abandon their wares for that day and come to the seminar. So after some, I allow him to talk, everything. I said, well, it is true. You might not trust everybody that has come, but this one is different, though. I show you my ID card that I'm from University of Lagos, a senior lecturer, that this project is a UNICEF project, this and that, and that you are not coming in vain. That was when he now calmed down. You know. The rest is history. But let's take the example that Moses had with those two Hebrews who were quarreling at the slave camp in Egypt. Moses happened to be there to witness the incident. And with the best intentions, with excellent mind and thoughts towards his own people, he tried to intervene and cancel them not to quarrel with each other. The result, Exodus 42, 14. What was the result? 14. Who made you a ruler or a judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? So, even as I was not present when this incident took place, my eyes skipped a bit first time I read the passage. Moses had just killed and buried an Egyptian in the previous day while delivering a Hebrew from cruel treatment. And now, the very people he tried to deliver, they are not afraid of exposing him. They are decoding good intention with evil. They are decoding good intention wrongly. So if you look at the pain of not being if you look at the pain of not being believed, though we had the very best intentions in mind, we probably will have to abandon any attempt to assist that people. I'm just trying to assist you. But what do you do in that case? You will try to abandon that individual. Yeah, the Bible says to not be weary in doing good, because we reap the results at the appointed time. Let's look at Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9. Technical, can you please help me? Galatians 6:9. So the intention at times is good, but people have misinterpreted it. The right thing is for you to do what? You abandon the whole thing. You leave them to their suffering. But the Bible is warning us. Let us not be weary of well doing. Some version says, let us not be weary of doing good things. For in due season we shall do what? We shall reap if we faint not. You see, if you wrongly decode it and you cease, you won't get the reward. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You will not miss your reward in the mighty name of Jesus. So if I ask you to recount your experience, I'm sure you have plenty to say. I have plenty to say too. No. Some of us say, I will never allow people, I will never assist people anymore. Yeah, I've heard that several times. Some of us who have homes, you know, people we never knew their origin. We never knew where they are coming from. We just take them on the basis that they said they are Christians, or probably on the basis that we speak the same language, or probably because we just want to assist, and we take them in. And then, at the end of the day, they misbehave like no man's business. And people will vow, I will never take. I think I told a sister, I said, if you stop doing good, if care is not taken, you will miss your blessing. I have asked somebody for almost 9 months, fed him, make sure he gets a job, try to help him in all ways we could help, advise him on how he could move forward. Most of the advice he didn't take, so everything went really for him, you know. But the worst of it was him now going about and telling them my wife is a witch. That before he eats in the house, he will have to bind and loose. One of our mommy was a witness to what he said. So one day after he has left our house, he now came just to visit. Unfortunately, that our grandma was around in the house. So that man was watching him. When he was in our house, like any other person, the kitchen is free. Nobody tells you what to eat or, you know, get into the kitchen or be one bed. Do anything you like with it. So that day I was the one who prepared the eba. And I know that he's a very good eater. So, big eba. And I said, okay, just go into the kitchen or do. And then he went to the kitchen, poured the stew as he likes. Not knowing that our grandma was washing him. The grandma said he did not even pray before he devoured the entire food. And this was somebody who was saying that before he eats in the house, he will bind and. Now, will that now prevent me from saying I will never bring in people anymore? No. The Bible says we must not be weary in doing what? Because if I allow that to happen, I will have good intention, I will have decoded it wrongly. and my blessing will not come. Your blessing will not cease from you in the mighty name of Jesus. No one could explain the agony Moses went through in the hands of the people he came to save. That, you know, but he didn't quit. He put his life on line until the assignment was finished. You know, he has to run away. There was a time, I'm sure, Moses must have forgotten the vision. You know, because he sees himself as the deliverer, no doubt about that. He was on the path of becoming the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. He was speaking Egyptian language with royal accent. So everybody knows that this one is a prince. It's not a matter of whether he's been, it's not that he speaks the Egyptian language with a Hebrew accent. No, he wasn't taken care of among the Hebrews. No, it was in the palace. So everybody knows, and he too knew that he's going to become the king, the Pharaoh, and that he will free the people. But that was not God's plan. But if Moses has decoded that intention wrongly, when God called him, he would have said no. Praise the Lord. But look at it this way. It is very rational to give up when you are being continuously rejected by the people you are trying to assist, just because they don't trust you. However, those who give up never achieve anything. I want you to know that. Can you believe how many times your adult children have rejected your suggestions and counsels just because they think your ideas are archaic? You know, they look at you and say, Daddy, that's old school. Whenever my children told me that, I didn't take it as an offense because I did it too. I look at my father when I was 17, 18. This man, old school, he doesn't know what is going on. But everything he told me, you know, eventually came to pass. And I begin to realize that, and I told my father that time that he was what? An old school. So, don't worry. Even teenage children sometimes accept your guidance because they are mostly minors. And they have no choice. Will you, because of that, give up counseling in guiding them? No. You won't. How about the number of times you have been antagonized by friends and family members when you advise them? They ask you, who made you their counselors? Or they might accuse you of thinking that you are more than them. Like a junior brother of mine, the family has gone haywire with four children, living with an abducted wife. Now, the family of the wife is living with are looking for him that he snatched their wife. The day they came for him in Abuja, he has to run away with the lady. They are no more in Abuja now. They have to run to Ile-Ife. You know. Meanwhile, his own four children are scattered all around and the wife, original wife married, run away. So when I got to Nigeria, I said, we must fix this thing. I called the wife. The wife said, I can't marry your brother again. Never. I said, okay, we shall see what we can do. Then I called my own brother. He was only interested in the dollar that I will send to him, which I refused to anyway. So I did not come because of you. How do we bring this family together? Then the boy eventually, the senior boy, his first son eventually impregnated somebody and called the dad. Dad, supply the name to give this baby. Dad said, no, he's not interested. The boy called me, said, I've called my dad to give name and he will not do this. Okay. Then I called my brother. I said, what is wrong in you? That boy is giving you the honor to name his child. Why won't you take care of that honor? Why are you misconstruing good intention? He said, okay, I will do it. Then he sent the name. Later he now texted me, said, I have sent the name, thank you. Then I mentioned one thing. I said, by the grace of God, when I come, I thought I would be going in August for convention, not knowing that I will even be, the travel plan will change. You know. When I come in August, by the grace of God, we must sit down and settle the case between you and your wife. That was the whole thing. He now sent me an epistle, lambasting me. Who am I to lure my own idea of Western world in a country where I have been living for the past 10 years that has completely turned me upside down, made me to forget African culture, to now be learning such culture, such foreign culture on him. Who am I, by the way? Am I the one who sent him to school? What did I have in his life? He doesn't want to listen to me anymore. No? Because he has promised never. And to the irony of it all, this my brother is a pastor. You see the problem? So people can easily misconstrue your intention. You must not stop from doing good. Now, if that is when good is wrongly decoded. Evil can also be wrongly decoded. If you read the story in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 to 34, you know, Pastor Isokan will tell you the Agbaya prophet, the story of the Agbaya prophet. the day he ministers with this, everybody was laughing. There was this small prophet that God called out of Judah. Go and do this, go and do this, but make sure you eat nothing. When you get home, I want you to read it. 1 Kings 13, verses 1 to 34. You see? It said, make sure you eat nothing, take nothing there. And there was this Agbaya prophet who came and said, it is dream God who has asked me to come to you, to invite you back, so that you can eat, you can do this, you can do that. And we all know what happened to that young prophet. In Eden, the devil must have spent days, months, or perhaps years in planning, looking at plan A and plan B to see how best to deceive Eve. I know that. It wasn't just a coincidence. It wasn't just a one-day experience. That is what I thought. It's not in the Bible, but I am sure. So though not written in the Bible, it is probable that the day Eve ate the fruit was not the first day or only meeting between her and the serpent. They must have been meeting. They must have known themselves. You know, the devil through the serpent must have been planning how to get Eve one way or the other. So the devil came to Eve, you know, with that hateful love and an angel of light, as an angel of light to open her eyes and the angel of deliverance to set her free. Until this time, the serpent was not known to carry the physical poison that killed anyone. He, of course, always carried spiritual poison. But he wanted to activate this physical deadliness so he could kill millions within minutes of biting. Before his time will run out. So guess what? He achieved his aim because Eve was naive enough to believe her friend's word, the serpent's word, thereby placing him above the direct instruction received from God regarding the fruits in the garden. God has told him, this fruit you must not eat, this you must eat. Then this man came and spoiled the whole show. So it's very difficult to know who your friends are. That's what we are seeing. But sometimes there are very clear signs that separate your enemies and you together. No, clear signs that you do not need to be a prophet to recognize this. Take, for instance, that man of God in that passage, 1 Kings 13. God sent to deliver a message, you know, to an altar in Bethel. Clear, specific instructions. We pray daily to ask God for direction and guidance, but this man did not need to pray this matter. His mission was spelled out with the precision of an algorithm, and he only needed to press enter key to return, to run it. He delivered the first part carefully to the letter, and he knew the second part very well because he repeated. It is repeated twice, at least twice on the assignment field. For I was commanded by the word of God, you must not eat bread or drink water or return the same way you came. 1 Kings 13:9. That was the instruction. So, how did this man succumb to the lying tongue of the so-called old prophet in the battlefield? I want you to please read this passage when you get home. How? He did not allow the Holy Spirit to take good hold of him. And then number two, he did not follow the instruction that has been given. So at times there have been two common things, stories. The first commonality between them is that the enemy comes pretending to be a friend, but deceives people to abandon God's instruction for a lie. Secondly, both deceivers knew that they were lying to their victims. Yorubas will tell you in their adage, "Eni meji ki padanu ro." Sorry, I'm speaking in tongues. If the person, two people cannot, which English will I use now? Sorry. That's why I always write my thing down, because the word may not come. Two people cannot be losers when it comes to somebody lying. No? If you do not know that guy is lying, the guy lying knows he's lying. So both of you are not losers. Somebody knows the truth. So the devil came and said, they will never die after eating the fruit. But rather their eyes will do what? Will open. So God told the man of God from Judah, do not eat nor drink anything after delivering the message to the altar. But the old lying prophet deceived him and said God had in fact changed his mind and now wanted the man of God to come back and eat. Is it any wonder the Bible says the thief, the devil, comes out, but to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. It is more dangerous to wrongly decode evil than to wrongly decode good. There is a saying that goes, if something sounds too good to be true, then it is probably what? It is probably is. So can God change his mind? Yes, he can. But as a standard measure, if God gives you an instruction, please know that it is very difficult that he will give you a counter-instruction by sending someone to tell you. Once God gives you an instruction, except it's not God. He is most likely to deliver the counter-instruction directly to you. He won't send anybody. Directly to you, the same way he gives you the original instruction. So this is an area that both Eve and the man of God of Judah missed. Okay, if God wanted to counter the instruction that he has given them, should not eat this fruit. That instruction, counter-instruction, should have come from God. By himself, not from one messenger of evil. The young prophet too, if he has discerned the Holy Spirit and with obedience, that God will only change his mind by talking to me as he has talked to me earlier, he wouldn't have fallen into that problem. So this morning I want us to rise. Let's be on our feet. We are going to say every enemy who is incubating or parading or masquerading as friend, the Lord will expose in your life. Go ahead and talk to God. Every enemy, that friend that comes to you, but is an enemy, will not have power over you in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you will have the Holy Spirit. You will discern Holy Spirit. The word of God says we should not be weary in doing good. Why should you now say because somebody has offended you while you are trying to do good, then you won't do it again? No. Let all those ones who are pretending to be my friends, but they are my enemies, let them be subdued. Brethren, you can only subdue them by prayers. So pray that I will not mistake evil for good. I will not mistake evil for good. In the name of Jesus, I shall not mistake evil for good. I will not mistake good for evil. I will not mistake evil for good or good for evil. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Zechariah 4:9 said, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid this foundation of this temple. His son will also complete it. What is it that your hands has laid foundation? And the enemy is trying to tell you that go back. It will not come to pass in your life. That foundation that your hand has laid, you will complete in the mighty name of. Talk to God this morning. Talk to God. That business that you have started, when you are back, and things become so difficult, and you want to run back. Look, things become difficult for Moses. For 40 years, he was wandering. He was in the bush, in the desert, wandering with his father's in-laws. Somebody supposed to be a king. He was wandering with his father's in-laws' flock. He became a servant. 40 solid years. But because he kept the promise, when it was time, God might have also used that period to train him. He triumph. You will triumph over all your enemies. You will not mistake evil for good. You will not mistake good for evil. The Holy Spirit will abide with you. The Holy Spirit will not abandon you. Talk to God this morning, brethren.
Of Jesus, we will not mistake evil for good in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God will guide us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, can we stretch forth our hands unto our Father in the Lord, that the hand of the Almighty God will be mighty upon his life, that what he shared with us today will not go contrary against him in the name of Jesus, that the Spirit of God will guide us aright in the name of Jesus. Can you pray for him? Can you pray for him? Can you pray for his ministry? That the hand of Zerubbabel that started it, we complete it in the name of Jesus. That this ministry will go far and beyond for Jesus in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Mighty God, we thank you for the word that we heard this morning. This word will become life in our life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy One of Israel. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.